it is another especial day here on the block. And you know, I know my Spanish, and so especial is what it is. Welcome to On the Block, Eastrick here, as well as not Austin Orman once again. It is Tricky Nicky in the building with Stricky today.
Stricky, good to be with you again, yeah. But I am certainly not the most important person in this room today.
That's a fact. We definitely have a special guest that came up just a little bit up the road down there at the Devaney Center. It is the head coach, Fred Hoiberg of the Huskers. How are you today, Fred?
Strick, it's great seeing you. It's great not having to chase you around screens. I think that, those bring nightmares to me still.
I think it was more me than you. But we do have a little something for you. Check this out.
Gentlemen, I've coached for 43 years, 29 years as a head basketball coach in Division I in the United States. And Freddie Hoiberg is the greatest athlete I've ever coached. He's an all-around player. He was in 7 of the 8 categories in the Big 8 as a junior. And this year, he's right back there again. Great free throw shooter, scorer, leader in assists, steals, a rebounder. He's been the leading rebounder 3 years in a row at Iowa State. He does it all. There isn't anything that he doesn't do. And there isn't anything he doesn't do well.
There it is. That was pretty good stuff, Stricky.
That's good stuff. And that's absolutely a fact. He had a great nickname. The nickname was the mayor, the mayor of Ames. And he did wonderful things. I remember going out to Hilton Coliseum on a regular basis and having to deal with you and Mika Leek and all, you know, all you studs out there. It was always a fun time.
Yeah. You know, first of all, it's great to hear Coach Orr's voice. He was my mentor. I played for Johnny for 3 years. He was kind of the larger than life figure in the athletic department. When I was growing up, I was a ball boy in Ames, born in Lincoln. Moved to Ames when I was 2. My dad got a job as a professor at the university and really just grew up with a great admiration for Coach Orr and what he did for the program and just his style of play, up-tempo, filled Hilton Coliseum, really created Hilton Magic. One of the great venues in the Big 8 back in the day. And as you know, Strick, I mean, those were the good old days in the old Big 8 conference and just some unbelievable characters as coaches. You know, Danny here, Coach Orr. At Iowa State, you had Norm Stewart.
Norm Stewart. Stormin' Norman.
Stormin' Norman in Missouri. Sit down Norm, as the fans used to always chant at him. Oklahoma, you had Billy Tubbs.
Yeah,
and Sutton. Eddie Sutton, Roy Williams. I mean, it was just such a great league and just an awesome group of coaches. So, yeah, I was Coach passed away, actually. It was my third year at Iowa State. That was a tough time for me because of everything that he did for me. I really had tried to emulate his style of play, his system, the up-tempo, the fast-paced style. Yeah. And he was just such a great man and did a lot of great things in the community. So thanks for playing that. That was really cool.
Yeah, no doubt, man. It's truly been a pleasure to have been close and connected, had the opportunity to be able to come, and be around the players. And you're very inviting and welcoming to a lot of the old players. And I think that's phenomenal, and I know that you're working to continue to build those relationships and do that now that you've been here six plus years now.
Going into year six, yep.
So, now that you've been here and you've gotten acclimated, how has it felt since you had some touch points to the area, but now, being here with family and everything that used to be here, how does it feel now?
Well, it's really cool how life for me has become full circle, or how it's come full circle. And being born in Lincoln, spending a lot of time here on holidays, Ames is my home. That's where I grew up. It's where I went to high school. It's where I met my wife. And obviously went to college at Iowa State. But we always had those connections to the University of Nebraska. And, one of the really cool things for me growing up, I was a diehard Husker football fan, and getting an offer to play for Coach Osborne and, building a relationship with him was really special. And I always loved coming and playing at the Devaney Center back in the day. I mean, it was such a great venue. People talked about Allen Fieldhouse and, back in the day, the old Oklahoma State IBA Arena when it
right
was
up over you.
Before the addition. Yeah. I mean, to me, that was one of the loudest places I ever played in.
They were like right on you, too.
Right on top of you. And had unbelievable teams. But, I remember our great battle, Strick. And, so Tim Floyd came in my senior year, and you guys were putting it on us at halftime in Ames. And it was a noon game, and he killed us in practice the day before. He was really upset with us, and we ran, and we were pretty gassed that first half. We're getting beat. And I remember he came in, he said to our center, Lauren Meyer, who's a first-round NBA draft pick.
Played with him in Dallas.
And he said, Lauren, you do understand you're getting your ass kicked by a guy named Mikey. And Mikey Moore was just putting it on him. And then we found a way to rally and ended up winning that game. But, we always had trouble. We won the one game my senior year at the Devaney Center. It was fun this year playing the scrimmage, the red-white game, back in the Devaney, bringing hoops back to the Devaney Center. Such a really, I thought, one of the underrated venues in the Big 8 Conference at the time.
No doubt. And so I know me personally, the closeness that I had for this program here, and there was a reason to why I stayed. What was the recruiting process like for you? Because you were definitely one of the highest suited guards coming in the country around that time. And the choice to stay there, like, what was that like? And did you do, like, I didn't take any recruiting. I regret it at this point.
But right.
How did it go for you?
Yeah, I took some visits. I wanted to make sure. Iowa State was, I think, first on the list. But I visited Stanford. My dad, being a professor, he told me, he said, you should go to Stanford. He said, you're not going to play in the NBA, so you need to go get this Stanford degree.
Wow.
So, well, I said, Dad, thanks for the confidence. But anyway, that was a tough one to turn down. And then I went to Arizona, Lute Olson and, you know, the Final Fours, everything that they had going on. So that was a really cool visit. And then I seriously did consider Nebraska for football. And then Danny needed a home visit. I did not end up taking the official visit to Nebraska, which did not make Danny very happy at the time, but I did look at it for football. That was a serious consideration for me. And then when I went to Iowa State, I'm sure it was like you, Strick, staying home. I just saw all the benefits of long-term what could play out if I went in there and did what I was supposed to do. And, you know, like you, I was a starter early in my career and went on for 4 years, had a really good career, very fortunate, as you know, to be put in a position to make it at the highest level.
No question.
I was lucky. You know, the year I came into the draft, it was 95. It was the year of the expansion. So Vancouver and Toronto came into existence, and that added 30 jobs.
Yeah.
And if not for that, I don't know if I would have made it, because Byron Scott, who was a great player on the Pacers teams, obviously Showtime Lakers with Magic and Kareem and those guys, but he was a really big contributor on the playoffs for the Pacers. So he gets picked up in the expansion draft by Vancouver, and that left one spot on the team. So I went in there, I competed with five other guys. One of them was Damon Bailey, who I think in eighth grade, Bobby Knight said he could have started for the Hoosiers as an eighth grader, was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. So I had to go into Indiana and, you know, beat out a guy that was a local guy, popular guy.
And I played against him in the CBA.
Yeah. And thankfully I ended up making that team. Larry Brown was the coach those first couple of years. And yeah, you know how it is, Strick. I mean, it's a lot of it's all about timing in life. And, you know, you had a hell of a career. I was fortunate to play 10 years before my heart condition. And, you know, it's just being able to provide for your family, doing what you love to do, man. There's nothing like it.
That's a fact.
Coach, I'm curious, from a coaching perspective, we mentioned now, like, kind of a big picture question. This is now your sixth year, going into your sixth year. 5 years in the Big Ten Conference as the coach in Nebraska. What are some things not only that you've learned that have stayed the same, but now in this ever evolving, ever changing landscape of collegiate athletics, what's so different now?
Everything. Yeah. from when I started here. The crazy thing to me is the first game that we played this week on Monday. You know, I have now coached at Nebraska longer than I coached at Iowa State, which is crazy to me. And, you know, I was 5 years names and, you know, five of the best years of my life, you know, helping get my alma mater back on the map and having four of the best years in the history of the program. And, you know, now, again, full circle for me coming back to a place that's also very special to me at Nebraska. You know, as far as what's different, obviously the portal is exploded. And now with all the other things, NIL, you know, revenue sharing coming into play next year, it's a completely different dynamic than anything that I think any of us ever would have thought this business would have turned into. So I'm happy for the players that they're able to profit. Certainly Strick would have been nice to do it back in the day.
But have you ever like really thought about like what it could have been like you being in Ames, being called the mayor, and just how your NIL deals would have been?
I do. I really do. Yeah. And, you know, it's again, it's such a unique time in college sports.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll
see
how this
go back far enough, doggone. 10 years wasn't too far.
You ain't lying. And, you know, but the thing about it is there's so many unanswered questions, I think, on how everything plays out. So we'll get more clarity as this thing goes on. But, you know, the good thing with Nebraska, we have an unbelievably supportive fan base.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we're going to be in a good position.
I'm curious to kind of build off of that, like everything that you're kind of talking about. I keep going back to the word like adapt, because you have to be able to on the fly, because you just said it yourself. So many unanswered questions, and there's just so many different avenues and variations of how things could play out, and everything's kind of on the table right now. how important is it for just coaches across the country, for the player's sake, to just be willing to adapt?
Well, you have to be. And, you know, whether you believe in it or not, you have to buy in, because if you don't, you got no chance.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're very fortunate to have the 1890 Collective and the PEED family that is behind everything as far as student athletes are concerned. And, you know, we've got a really good collective in place. Not everybody can say that. And, you know, the health of the athletic department and the, you know, with everything with revenue sharing, you know, we're in a good position. So biggest thing for us, we just need to continue to go out there and hopefully put together a good team that can compete. Last year was a lot of fun. One of the most enjoyable years I've ever had in coaching. Weren't the most talented team, but those guys were so bought in and no agendas and just played together. And I think I like this group. It's a very similar makeup. Who are the go-to guys? Who's going to emerge? I think those are questions that will be answered soon, but I love Bryce's first game, how he went out there. Unfortunately, he had some cramping, or I think he would have been mid-30s that first game, and then Connor got hot at the right time towards the end of the game. And, you know, Andrew Morgan's a guy we can throw the ball to get us a basket. And then Raleigh, I thought, had complete control of that game for all 40 minutes. So, you know, fun group to coach, similar makeup, not only last year, but the year before with Griesel and, you know, Bandamel and Derek Walker, Juwan Gary. If those two guys don't go down to mid-season injuries, I really think that would have been a tournament team.
Yeah,
I agree. I had the privilege of coaching, you know, at the Division II level, and I looked around at that time, and I'm built different. And I'm a hard-nosed type of guy, and you know, I love for guys to work. You're the same. You're a hardworking guy and came up through the ranks that way. And when you look at it now, right, with how the relationships that you're building with your players, and you want to build them, you try to build them, and then you have a lot of guys on a team, and it's tough to keep them all happy, i.e. Eli Rice, you know. How do you deal with that? Being that, you know, you're doing the best you can, you're trying to communicate effectively with them, and yet it's tough to keep retention. And it doesn't matter how good you are and how well you treat them and how their experience is, it's you're having to deal with this turnover thing. How difficult is that for you and staff and trying to figure out how we want to put together teams?
Yeah, it's and I talked about this last year. It was going to be the hardest thing that we had going on was who's going to be in the rotation. And, you know, we did the best we could to put the right group on the floor, and I think we did a solid job of that with what we accomplished. This year, maybe even a little more so. I think we're a little deeper even than we were. Not many people in a close game can play 10 guys double-digit minutes, but we had 10 guys that played 10 minutes or more in that opener, and that's how it's going to be. We'll ultimately have to pare down the rotation. Who that is, I don't know, but we talk pretty much daily about that. This is a team. It's not going to be the same guy every night.
Hey, what's up? It's Wilmer Valderrama. You know, a lot of us don't think twice about our tech. Millions of Americans struggle to connect to today's digital world. And that's why this story really hits home for me. I mean, I start thinking about my upbringing and myself growing up in a world where, you know, you needed every possible tool or help you could get to actually allow you and afford you a bigger dream. That's why I love what AT&T's been doing. They're doing something amazing. I mean, they've launched an effort to equip 20,000 students with laptops, backpacks, and school supplies. Seattle, for example, they provided 250 laptops and backpacks to kids who really needed them. Now, you might think like, okay, 250 kids, that's nice, you know, but stop to think for a second, like the impact of what this could do for a community. Imagine, you know, 250 kids getting that kind of help. It's huge. It's not just happening in Seattle, right? AT&T is doing it all over the country. I'm just proud that AT&T is helping connect the next generation to a brighter future, and that's pretty special.
Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Yeah.
And you have to accept that. If you want to have any chance of winning, you have to find a way to stay together. And as you know, be ready when your name is called. I was one of those guys where I would go 8-10 games when I got in the NBA where I never played. And then all of a sudden, somebody's sick, somebody gets hurt. I have to go in and perform. So it's all about keeping yourself ready. And we talked to our guys about
stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Exactly. And then, you know, and take advantage of it and show that you belong out there, which, again, there's good players on a roster that may not play a lot of minutes this year. But, again, you have to accept it. In our roster, we have six guys that will all be in the rotation that will graduate this year. So if not this year, or if you play a little bit more of a limited role, be ready to step into one of those maybe starting roles a year from now and ready to make an impact.
There's so many intriguing pieces on this roster, right? In addition to those guys that will graduate, like Bearkay is so intriguing, and the size of Braxton Mia. There's so many different sizes and skill sets on this team. And I think we saw a little bit of that Monday night, right? I want to ask specifically about Bryce, because we saw a little bit of a different type of player in Bryce just on Monday night when Strick and I were in the building than even what we saw at times last year. Talk about the strides that specifically Bryce has made in the offseason to kind of, you know, continue evolving his game.
Well, I think leadership is where he's taken the biggest step. And when you lose Casey, Josiah, Rink not being on the floor, Rink's around, obviously, but he's not going to be on the floor. So needed somebody to step into that leadership role. And I've been really proud of Bryce for everything he's doing. He sets the tone every day with his effort. We have a catapult system that monitors the player loads. He's always one of the highest, one of the top two highest. And that shows how hard he's going right now and setting the tone with his effort and work ethic. So, you know, as far as his game, he did such a good job. He got to the free throw line 11 times, and he did that really look at the end of last year. He lived at the free throw line. And it was good to see him. I think he scored the first eight for us the other night and then kept it going. And I thought he did a good job of getting fouled and drawing contact, especially when he got into the bonus.
You have a good balance. And I've always, especially in this NIL situation, the way that it's come out now, I've talked about there's got to be a fine line and balance to foundation building with getting enough young players and retaining them long enough to figure out this game and understand how to play the correct way and all of that. And having transfers come forward, there's got to be a fine balance. I think if it's imbalanced one way or the other, it's going to be tough, because you have a good balance of senior leadership as well as young leaders that are up and coming. How are you looking at like Nick Janowski and Kale and some of these other guys that are a lot younger? You know, how are they faring right now? Is it still a learning curve that they need to come over a little bit? Do you foresee, you know, them popping head? Have you decided on red shirts? Just that total conversation about that balance.
Yeah, it's a great question, and I couldn't agree with you more, Strick. And, you know, when I look back on how we built our team at Iowa State, we really did build it with transfers. And at that time, at the state of the program, we weren't going to beat Kansas and Oklahoma and Texas on high school recruits. So we had to get transfers. Now, back in the old days like that, you had to sit out for a year.
Yeah.
But I could see the chemistry of a Royce White, a Chris Babb, a Chris Allen, and getting from really high major programs. And then we took a huge step that next season. So, you know, this year's group, you know, you mentioned Janowski, you mentioned Kale, and the other guy to throw in there is Braden Frager. He's been phenomenal. And, you know,
he's Omar kid.
Lincoln Southwest.
Yeah,
Lincoln
kid. Yep. Yeah. And all three of those guys have shown that they can play. Now, you know, what's exactly going to happen as far as redshirt? Don't know yet. You don't have to make that decision right now. They're dressing every game and you know, being asked to stay ready if opportunity presents itself and warming up with us and traveling with us. Kale gave us some good moments a year ago. He played some important possessions for us, and there's no doubt in my mind he could go in there and make an impact for us. So, you know, we'll see how this transpires. We had a couple injuries in the preseason. Kale played quite a bit in that Grand Valley, the second game, a lot of those minutes in the first half. So we'll see. We'll see how it plays out, but we really do like those younger players.
Your schedule kind of ramps up pretty quickly here, right? So you got obviously a top 15 opponent in Creighton in a couple of weeks on the 22nd, I believe. But then you also go up to South Dakota and play a pretty good team in St. Mary's. And not to mention, like, the Monday night matchup was really, really competitive. And I guess I don't want to use the word clunky, because I don't think that's the accurate representation. But there's a lot to figure out, especially when you have a team so deep and so talented and different options. Like, is there a sort of, I guess, how do I want to say this? Quicken up the pace type of thing. Like, we got to get this thing figured out. Or are we okay to sit back, take our time, maybe not take lumps, but understand that there's going to be some growing pains?
Yeah, I mean, I think all of us in our position right now, there's going to be some growing pains, you know, with all the new faces that we all have on our rosters. But I'll say this, when you see what that UT Rio Grande team did down in Omaha last night, I mean, that's a really, really good basketball team. And you just, when you're putting your schedule together, you have no idea who's going to be on the team. And they did a great job building that roster with 12 players. All of them can shoot. They all
fresh
play.
Fresh guys, too. A lot of them, right? Like 11 of them?
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, they play the five-out spread, and they shoot a ton of threes, and they all can make shots. And you saw that again against Creighton last night. They were in a single digit game for most of that game, yeah, and ended up losing by only 13. So, you know, that was a really good first test for us. And I said it going into that, how my anxiety was at a high going into that first game because of your point of not knowing exactly what you have, because yeah, until you play a real game, you truly don't know. And, you know, these next two opponents will give us a good feel heading into the St. Mary's game, heading into the Creighton game, on where we are. You know, we will take steps every day, mm-hmm, to get better. We had a lengthy film session after that that first game. And, you know, the last couple days have been all about correcting things that we needed to work on heading into the game on Saturday night.
It was funny because when he said it, I mean, you said it today, where it was when you guys scheduled Rio Grande, they didn't have the 12 players. They added 12 fresh players. And so it's just kind of interesting that they're with this ever-changing landscape and rosters changing so frequently, you don't know what opportunity is going to present itself.
You don't know. And two more questions. Now that you have Raleigh and Aaron Ulis as your true point guards, the benefits this year to this year's team, do you feel that it's improving your offensive efficiency in the half court and allowing your team to better get out in the transition game often and more effectively with them, as well as Burke being able to handle?
Sure.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think our pace, it was good at times, and at times it wasn't as good. Our spacing on the break wasn't quite where we needed it to be consistently 100% of the time. That being said, the organization that those guys can provide for our team. Last year when we faced pressure, really the guy that we went through was Rink.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with the dynamic of last year's roster, with Bryce really being the primary ball handler, we had to have Rink. And Rink led us in assists a year ago. So that was very important. And Burke can give us some of that. I think you saw a really good backdoor play that he made in the first half, handling the ball. Yeah. But then Aaron and Raleigh, the possession, talked about this this afternoon, Strick, when he came down and found Connor trailing the play. You know, that's just an instinctive basketball play, knowing where the hot hand is. And that really got us up seven. And then Connor ran two plays, next two possessions, got a layup and got to the free throw line. And, you know, that's what a true point guard can do for you. So the pace, Aaron's done a great job getting the ball up the floor. But, you know, really happy to have those two guys part of our
just
program.
To tie on to that, before he asks the last question, I'll give it to him. See, I'll be nice.
You don't have to.
He's visiting my show. So listen, one thing that I noticed that was a little bit different in why it's important, like having that point guard presence, is I saw a couple of times in the past, let me start there, where it would get bogged down, you would get a mismatch, and instead of the identification of that mismatch, everything stopped. Here, Rink is on a freaking point guard. Get this ball to him and let us work off of it. I saw at times last year that wasn't identified. Sometimes you would go and screen with another guy and end up switching the matchup. I saw that with Raleigh a couple of times where he literally saw it, identified it, and was able to get to the mismatch, even if it was for himself. I thought that was imperative.
Yeah, I agree with that. And he did. I thought he took advantage of it, got into the paint, not only where he scored it or got fouled, but also sprayed it out for some shots. And, you know, we've got a package. We did it a lot with Griesel 2 years ago, just having a 6'7 lead guard out there where he was able to take advantage of a mismatch with his size. You know, we need to do, like we had Burke a couple times, we have to get the ball to him, you know, especially the, you know, just throwing it in, getting him a punch in transition. We missed him a couple times on that because he's so talented and he's got such great ball skills to be able to make plays.
Feet work is awesome.
It is.
Especially too. Defensively.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to ask a big picture as we kind of put a bow on this conversation. You guys have steadily improved every single year, right? And there were some key pieces even 3 years ago where it was like the McGowan's brothers, right? And then Derek Walker. I mean, you can't speak enough about D-Walk. And you guys have continued to improve with guys like that. Rink was, you ran a lot of your offense through Rink in the paint last year as well. Who's those guys this year that in 3 years we're going to be looking back and go, you know what? They were kind of another, they allowed you to take one more step up the ladder in terms of being able to continue, you know, expanding expectations.
Yeah, and I'll say that, you know, Griesel and Bandamel were two of the best culture guys that I've ever coached. Those guys were unbelievable, really, in flipping the script on Nebraska basketball, getting us back, you know, where we needed to be. And you know, it just has kind of taken off from there. I would say Raleigh definitely is one of those guys. I look at Connor Sejan, you know, Gavin Griffiths, those two guys have bright futures. with us. They're still young, only a sophomore for Gavin, you know, junior for Connor. Sam has been great as far as a culture guy, leadership guy. And then, you know, Bryce Williams and Juwan Gary. I mean, both those guys have been absolutely phenomenal for us. We have a roster full of really good kids, and it's what we want to coach. We want hardworking, get on the floor, block out, do all those little dirty things that I know makes this fan base, you know, be supportive of the group that's out there. It's like your team, Strick. I mean, you had a gritty, tough, hard-nosed team, and that's what we want here. That's what I've talked to my assistants about, is getting those kind of groups in here that I know the fan base will be proud of, whether you win or lose. You know, that you can walk out of here saying that team played their ass off.
Left it all on the line.
Yep.
Yeah, you have a Cajun fan in here, so, you know, we may have to get Connor down here to talk to us a little bit and welcome. We definitely want to welcome the new guys.
Yep.
Like, just know that this is a place for them to be able to come and be really engaged and introduced to the community of Lincoln. And so we appreciate you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to come on down during the week of preparation. And we thank you.
I appreciate you guys having me on.
We got to ask Bethune-Cookman Saturday. What do they do well? What's going to present maybe a challenge for you guys real quick?
Yeah, you know, playing Reggie Theus, a guy that's been at every level. Reggie was assistant coach at the Timberwolves when I was working in the front office, so know Reggie well. And he's got a lot of talent on this team. Yeah. You know, he's got several high major transfers that are on this team. So they'll ISO quite a bit. They play very fast. They were 15th in the nation in fast break points a year ago. So that's where it's going to start. We have to get back in transition. If you give a team easy baskets, then that fuels confidence. Yeah. And we just, you know, we can't rely on trying to shut them off after they get confidence. So very important early on that we get back in transition.
There you go.
There it is. Coach Fred Hoiberg joining us here on the block. Thank you once again, Coach Hoiberg, for taking the time to come on down and hang out with us on the block and the Blockheads. We're going to take a break, let Fred get out of here, and we're going to come right back and have a little discussion on the block. 937 The Ticket.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention, which is why when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.